Good morning, everyone. My name is Marie Bourguignon. I'm actually originally from France, too, so I can see we have a little French community here. I'm studying at Iowa State University, though, and today I'm going to talk to you about KNAF, which can be a potential alternative and multi-purpose biomass crop. So for those who do not know this plant, it looks like this, kind of look like hemp, right? But don't smoke it, you're gonna be sick. So it's basically dicot herbaceous annual, and it's mostly adapted to tropical and subtropical area. And the characteristic of this plant, it's in its stem, pretty thick stem, divided into two components, the outer bast, so at the outside with very long, valuable fibers, and the inside core with shorter fibers. And when you dry it, you can see on the left bast and in the middle core, there is a difference of texture. So due to those characteristics, this plant is mostly a fiber crop. So for use for animal bedding, paper pulp, construction panel, rope, things like this. It could have some potential profit, but there's more research needed on that. And it could also be a good candidate for fuel. What we don't know about this plant, right now the leaders of these, the production of this plant is mostly India and China. And in the US, it's a little bit used mostly in the South for seed production in red and for wild, commercial use, in green. But as you can see, there is a big gap right in the middle, in the Midwest, in the Corn Belt. And we need to have some answers to some simple questions, such as, can it grow? So especially in Iowa, where I study, which variety could be appropriate for Iowa? What does the morphology of the plant look like? What is the chemical composition of this plant in Iowa? And also looking at the bio-renewable resource aspect, you want to see if there is a difference between bast and core, if it could be a good potential for those purposes. So KNAF could be an alternative crop because, well, it's a multi-purpose crop. It's similar to a tree, so there is a high content in cellulose and hemicellulose. There is a high biomass potential. This plant can grow like very, very tall. And there is high heat of combustion. If you burn KNAF, it burns super quick and super hot. It can also bring some biodiversity. So in Iowa, we always talk about corn and soybean, but this plant could actually bring, could be like alternative land use. There could be some potential for carbon sequestration as well. The only thing with, from the northern latitude, like in Iowa, there is less disease issues than in the south. But the phenology of this plant is basically it grows, it flowers, and then it dies. So there is no seed production. So for this study, we looked at different varieties, KNAF varieties, and looking at the which one are the best for optimal yield in Iowa. Using the same varieties, we looked at the optimal fiber comorphology and quality in Iowa. And using a few varieties from this study, I looked at the potential of bast and core for biorenewable resource. So we used 8 different varieties of KNAF. Some of them are experimental, some of them are commercially used. It was in Boone County in Iowa. And it was a randomized complete block design, with 4 replications, and it was actually conducted 10 years ago, from 2004 to 2007. And each of those colors is a different variety. We looked at the yield, the population, leaf stem ratio, bast core ratio, fiber and fiber compositions, and basically everything was analyzed with SAS and ProcGLAM mostly. Here's just a picture of KNAF in Iowa this year in September. So just looking at two varieties here on the left, it's Tanning 2, and on the right, it's Wheaton, just to show you how sometimes the plant can differ. And it's actually already tall, so I don't think I'm short, but it was already very tall. We found that the yield and population was were different over those 4 years, and especially the yield and population were better in 2005 than the rest of the years. So let's take a look at the climate conditions over those 4 years. So here you have a graph with the average temperature. Oh, there we go. Thanks. There we go. Wow. Okay, so you have the average temperature here for the four different colors that for those four different years, and in black it's the 30 years long term. And here you have the monthly cumulative precipitation for those same years and the 30 years long term. So let's look at 2004. It was a pretty bad year for KNF. So it seems that in the summer it was a little bit colder than usual and wetter in the spring. And if you look at 2005, the temperature were a little bit higher in April, pretty much usual, and for the precipitation, it was a little bit wetter in August. So maybe that could, you know, explain those results. For the yield, we did find a variety effect. So for those eight, oh, it's great, interesting. This is not that bad. For those eight varieties, with the yield here, Tainan 2 and Daylong, and Everglade 41 did a little bit better job than the other varieties. For the morphology of the plants, we did found that it was the morphology and the chemical composition were influenced by the year and the variety factors in different ways. So, for example, here, the stem diameter and the leaf-stem ratio at the harvest, it was all measured at the harvest, were better in 2004 than 2005, although we did see that the yield was better in 2005. For the stem height, there is a variety effect on this variable, and Tainan 2 and Wheaton did a better job than the other varieties. And interestingly, for the core bass ratio, those same varieties also perform quite well. So here you have to think about why you grow KNF. Let's see if we say, you know, we want to grow KNF for the core. Sorry. Then Tainan 2 and Wheaton could be good varieties for that. In terms of chemical composition, so the fiber analysis was performed, and we looked at the hemicellulose composition, cellulose composition, and lignin composition. So overall, KNF is pretty much composed with 20% of hemicellulose, 60% of cellulose, and less than 10% of lignin. Here you have in dark green the bast and the light green the core, and it seems that there is difference between those two components of the stem. So for cellulose, the bast have more cellulose than the core, but for hemicellulose and lignin, it was the opposite. And in terms of variety effect, there is a little bit of difference between for the bast for hemicellulose and the core for cellulose. So Wheaton did a good had. Much a little bit more cellulose in the core than Tainan 2, for example, but it's not really, there's not really big difference. The third objective was looking at the potential for bioenergy. So it was this year, this summer, I took the samples collected 10 years ago for those five varieties based on the previous data, and looking at the difference between bast and core and just for 2004 and 2005. I run micropyrolysis on those samples using this micropyrolyzer GC flame ionization detector Varian equipment. We're using a column UA1701, and the temperature was starting at 40 degrees Celsius for 3 minutes and then reached 250. And basically, this method uses a very small amount of biomass, of material. So it's like 0.5 milligram per for the sample, and it runs, the pyrolysis works just for 30 minutes per sample. So with this amount of biomass, I cannot really have the yield of of gas, char, and oil. But it's just looking at basically the volatile compound in the gas phase. So this is an example of the chromatograph I got, basically with the retention time here from 5 to actually 25 here, but it goes to 30 minutes. And as you can see, there is a lot of peaks and a lot of noise. So what I did was selecting pretty much 23 most important peaks of those study. I didn't get a chance to do any mass spectrometry work on it yet, so I am not able to identify those peaks, but it will definitely be some work to do. So for now, I just call them A, B, C, D, 2W. And some of those peaks were not present in all of the samples. The core samples had pretty much all those peaks, but not the best. So I took just the 10 peaks that were present in every sample to be able to compare best in core. And what I found that there is a big difference between best and core. Core has pretty much a lot of those, for all this, pretty much all, for all of those peaks, core has more of those compound than BAST, especially for K, for example. And looking at the year by variety effect, I did find some difference between those varieties on and year, but just for two peaks, so for two compounds. But there is not really any big, like any dominant variety. So of course the question here is, you know, what are those compounds? Are they valuable for bioenergy and in terms of economics too? So I definitely need to do more work on that. It would be very interesting to see at the end, you know, if you grow enough for like which compound, if you want to grow for core or for best. So overall, we looked at the yield. Basically there is some varieties that are quite good for Iowa. In terms of quality and quantity of fibers, the stem height and core BAST were variety dependent, mostly good for 10 and 2 and Witten. For the pyrolysis products, there is some clear difference between core and BAST composition, but a bit less between varieties. So definitely more mass spectrometry work to do. I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Ken Moore, and his team, Roger, Trish, Roger in the field, Trish in the lab. Jeremy was actually from AgroSub Dijon in France. He helped me this summer. Danny, Pedro, and Zeb for their support. Also would like to thank Robert Brown and his team. They helped me to work on the policies work, my committee, and Dr. Ben Goff also, who I'm working with on another KNAF project in Kentucky. With that, I would like to take any questions you have. Thank you.
Do you have time for questions? I have one, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
KNAF is one that I hear a bit, and I haven't worked with much, you know, from growers in the field. Why do you think it doesn't get more attention? I guess, do you have any thoughts?
Good question. I mean, this is not really used in the U.S. Maybe that's also why. So we maybe should bring it more, you know. And right now it's mostly used for other type of purpose. So there is some research definitely needed on this bioenergy aspect. Oh, I think that's over there.
I may have missed it, but did you have any kind of comparisons between KNAF as an energy crop and other possible alternatives in terms of dry tons per acre? And also, second question, how would this be harvested on a commercial scale?
Yeah, I figured that will. So for the comparison, not really yet, depending on what you want to look at. Yeah, so the yield or like the actual composition. I mean, I'm not quite sure how to compare in terms of like ethanol from corn, you know, or like things like that. And for your second question, so for here it was harvested by hand because we needed, you know, samples. But I actually looked and some people harvest with forage equipment. It's actually, I mean, personally I think it's hard to believe because it's very, very tough, you know, and but. Yeah.
I think we still have time for one more.
Okay. think there's someone else. Oh, yeah.
What is this, did you use this crop for producing any kind of sugar, free sugar for fermentation purposes? Apart from, you said that you used it for pyrolysis.
Yeah.
What was the performance of this particular feedstock for cellulosic ethanol production?
You mean like looking at the yield for for oil?
Yeah, not for bio oil, for the ethanol production.
Well, we were not really able to look at that for that. Not sure. I'm not sure on that. Sorry. Good.